think everyone who lives and works around here knows, you know, we powered our great industries, particularly heavy industry, you know, whether it's paper or chemicals or steel or autos, you know, using and abusing our water along our Great Lakes riverfronts and waterfronts. And when we stepped back in the 70s and took a look at all the damage, when actually four Great Lakes rivers caught fire, the Cuyahoga, the Buffalo River, the Chicago River, and the Rouge River, that was kind of a signal like maybe we're doing damage here that's debilitating to our health, our economy. And the great kind of cleanup push began, the great Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, conservation, environmental movement, which made significant headway in cleaning up these lakes and the rivers and the fouled, you know, industrial wastelands that we had created here, particularly in this industrial heartland region. But, you know, 10 years ago or more, when we had this Great Lakes Restoration cleanup plan that was going to really push forward to clean up the Great Lakes once and for all, it was costing $20 billion if we were to follow through in 2005 or six dollars. And it was going nowhere until we did, with Brookings and others, an economic impact study, like what would it mean for jobs and economic development if we spent that $20 billion? And the biggest chunk of that is in these 10, there are actually 25 areas of concern, they're called, where you have the most toxically fouled water bodies, whether it's the Muskegon Lake or, you know, the Cuyahoga River, where it's just dangerous. Those are the most expensive to clean up. It's the biggest piece of that Great Lakes restoration price tag. But when we made this economic argument that at that time said, look, every dollar you spend is going to produce $3 in economic development and new economic activity and jobs, we got the ball rolling. The federal government began and Congress passed $2 or $3 billion has now been spent since 2008 for Great Lakes cleanup. Again, the big ticket items are these areas of concern. And there's 10 that are reported on. And what we're seeing is not surprising. To enjoy water, to sit at a restaurant by the water, to have a hotel room overlooking the water, or just to stroll along, you know, a beach or a waterfront or a marina pier, the first thing, the water's got to not be toxic and dangerous. And that big cleanup effort of these 10 communities has literally translated into billions of dollars in new economic development, new jobs, new activity around those communities, because they're spectacular if you clean up the mess. Part of what we've been doing in growing an understanding of what the blue economy is, meaning how water and water, smart water use and new water problem solving and technologies create businesses and jobs, is to really get a better handle on the different ways water does create economic activity. Let's just go back a minute. You know, water has always been a resource. We shipped goods across it, starting in the Great Lakes. We shipped out the timbers and the iron ores. It's a resource. We pull fish out of it to eat. It's also a resource. It takes lots of water to run a paper mill or, you know, a utility plant. So we use and abuse lots of water historically in making things and growing things. But the really important emerging ways water matters are: water is a source of new technologies and jobs. When you have, you know, Whirlpool and Menton Harbor making a net zero water and energy appliance kitchen, that's a smart water use. When you have folks in Steelcase and Herman Miller wringing water use out of their supply chain because it saves money and energy in making things, you get a smart water business model. And centers of research and learning, that where the talent is educated, the scientists are trained and are inventing new solutions like how to zero in on targeting invasives in the water and killing those versus other things. That's pretty good stuff. But water is magical. I mean, let's just name it for what it is. People love to be around the water. So when you clean up the mess and you can enjoy the water, and, you know, people will pay more for a waterfront view, for the, whether it's their office or condo or hotel room. And so water is so magical that when you reconnect communities to it, and that's what the real AOC cleanup demonstrates, when you can front the water, when you can redevelop your community to face the water, where people can enjoy the waterfront in different ways, that is such a powerful magnet for human activity, for visitors, for businesses that are around that waterfront. And it just contributes amazing growth in property values and new jobs and economic activity that you know, it's one of our greatest assets in the region is this lifestyle, quality of life opportunity we have, living, working, playing along our spectacular waters when they're cleaned up and you can enjoy them.
You mentioned when they're cleaned up, and there were 10 areas of concern here that make up the story that we're telling. Does that make this region really the leader in water research and development for years to come?
It has helped us a lot to develop processes, systems, technologies that we can now sell and put to work around the world that first grew out of our Great Lakes cleanup efforts. So, for example, there's engineering and sort of waterfront cleanup and restoration and redevelopment of the waterfront and ecosystem engineering firms that began their work as we began to clean up the Great Lakes. And now they're in China. You know, now they're in India, because those countries have tons of water cleanup to do because they copied our mess. They made their own mess and fouled their own waters, and they're now trying to clean it up. So that's business and work for engineering, design, ecosystem restoration, environmental engineers based in Michigan and the region to work around the world. And that's really an opportunity for us, is to be with some of the top research and learning institutions on Earth, with some of the top companies that are involved in smart water management and system building, like Dow in Michigan, are making hyper-efficient water and energy-using manufacturing facilities around the world. That's a business for us. That's the markets for us. Because the world needs water solutions, how to use water smarter, better, more efficiently, and clean it up and not damage it to begin with. And we can provide those services, those technologies, and employ people here in Michigan. And that's part of the kind of acceleration of our smart water-based economy that we, as an important piece of this blue economy, alongside just cleaning up and reconnecting communities to waterfronts for enjoyment, for lifestyle, making quality of life communities. I mean, look at what reconnecting the Grand River through downtown and the fulcrum it is for a vital downtown that you see in Grand Rapids. That's real.
And along the lakeshore, there's a story that is continuing to unfold, and that's the Muskegon Lake cleanup.
Yeah, I used Muskegon as an example. I mean, we in the Great Lakes region and in Michigan, I mean, we had dozens, if not hundreds, of Muskegons where, you know, a paper milling and that later, you know, paper and chemical and manufacturing waterfront was, you know, horrendously polluting. And the Holiday Inn that's downtown was built at a time when they turned the windows away from the waterfront, which is kind of incredible when you stop and think about it. Why would you build a hotel where you can't see this waterfront? And now that whole nexus of sort of detritus from this industrial era has been removed, cleaned up, and now you see new, you know, brew pubs, you see marinas, you see new hotels that are facing the water. You know, that evolution of an industrial waterfront, the same story all around Michigan and the Great Lakes. Look at Traverse City. They wiped away their cherry canneries decades ago, which is what they had on their waterfront. And, you know, that's a now thriving community where people live all year round and many more visit because it's such a great lifestyle. And Marquette's the same way. And, you know, places like Port Huron and the other side of Michigan are just beginning this journey of cleaning up the mess and reconnecting their communities and their downtowns to a, you know, spectacular Great Lakes waterfront, which is, you know, one of the most attractive places you could ever choose to be if it's not toxic, if it's cleaned up and you can enjoy it for all sorts of purposes.
What still needs to be done, and are there more challenges ahead?
Well, it's interesting. You know, we have been working in places like Muskegon and Grand Rapids, have been kind of accelerating over the years their reconnection of their waterfront. And then, you know, Flint happens, and then this PFAS issue emerges that we didn't know we had. And so as we were getting all excited that this water blue economy is being more real, that we're making attractive waterfront places, that we're being a leader in water innovation and water cleanup, you know, we get reminded like a body blow that, you know, we got to make sure the fundamentals are there Like, you need water for life, and we have to make sure our water isn't toxic and doesn't kill you and doesn't do damage. And, you know, there is a lot of work to do back to basics on water infrastructure and water cleanup. The first step in enjoying the magic of water is to clean it up and making sure it is healthy and the communities around it are healthy. And then you can go on and be adding the kinds of things that you're seeing in Grand Rapids, where you're, you know, you're putting the rapids back in the Grand, which is amazing. And it's, you know, it's not because you're going to rent a few more kayaks. It's because that just accelerates the attractiveness of downtown Grand Rapids as a place to live and work and have your office and visit. Then you can go on to kind of building out this blue economy. So we were reminded that we got to take care of the basics with water first, and then we can go on and build out the ways our unique water assets, which we do have more than any place. Michigan has 3,400 miles of Great Lakes coastline, 10,000 miles across the Great Lakes. We like to say the freshwater coast is a potent lever for economic revival of former Rust Belt to become the Blue Belt. And people want to live, work, and play in places with a great lifestyle. And we have that opportunity here if we take care of basics and then we go on to really even more aggressively, because it takes money, clean up the mess, redevelop for multi-use and enjoyment waterfronts, whether they're rivers or lakefronts. And then, you know, the market will do the rest. People want to move, and they want to locate, they want to visit. Businesses want to operate in places that people enjoy the water.
John, if people want to take a look at the report, where do you recommend they find it?
It's called Great Lakes Revival. And again, it's a story about these 10 really of the worst toxic water community hotspots and how cleaning them up has turned around those communities that were once thriving, then down on their heels, and now they're thriving again. You can find it at iaglr.org, Great Lakes Revival. And it's a good read, but it's also an important story because it can provide additional momentum for all of us, business, political, civic leaders, to keep the pedal to the metal on cleaning up and reconnecting our communities to water, which is one of our greatest natural assets and also an emotional asset. The report talks about we feel connected to our Great Lakes and we care about them and it's part of our identity, and that also contributes to this being a place people want to stay, our young people, and other people will come for a lifestyle that we know is rich, and it's part rich because of the Great Lakes and water that we can enjoy with our family and enjoy every day.
John Austin, Director, Michigan Economic Center, also a senior fellow with the Brookings Institution. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Patrick.